Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. You know, there's nothing like the first really bad stretch of winter weather to point out issues that you may be having with your home. It might be, well, eventually ice dams forming outside, or maybe you got some condensation or drafts inside. You know, those can be important problems. I mean, they can cost you money, but that we can address most of them. And we're going to find out about today about how to do that as we visit with our two guests, Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build, back once again to talk with us. Chad, great to have you back.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be here.
And also with Chad today, another guy who's been with us in the past, Chaz Vaughn. He's project manager of the Window Design Center in Madison. And Chaz, thank you so much for coming by and being with us.
Thanks, Larry. It's always a pleasure to be here.
I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. If you have a question, you have a window that maybe needs replacing or some questions about your windows or your energy bills in general, we're kind of zero in on that a little bit today, you can call in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page, and our Facebook page title is The Larry Mueller Show. You can go there and maybe you've even got a photo that, you know, if there's an issue with the house and you want to take a photo and show it to our guests, they may well have some answers. And here we are. In my own house, on the front door, which has a storm window, it's all window, but half of it, you kind of make some adjustment, pull it up, and it turns into a screen, pull it down or whatever, or vice versa, and it turns into a storm. And I'm wondering, is that as good a window say, replacing, you know, my other two doors? I have to literally take the whole screen out and by hand and then put in the new glass.
Well, I think from an efficiency standpoint, you could say that maybe it's a slightly less efficient, but really just having that first line of defense, that's that storm door, is, in our climate, really important. It allows you to step out and get the newspaper and have that closed behind you without worrying that all the heat of the house is coming out. And it's convenient. The other side of that is you're going to have basically two sash, so you're going to have some sort of split across the middle. So if you're after that clear view, it's going to have a horizontal break. And then it's mechanical. And anytime you have something that's mechanical, there's always the possibility that something could go wrong.
On the other hand, it is up. And the other two doors, where I have storm doors, I haven't gotten around to changing. But believe me, it's going to be done this weekend. I'm going to get that glass out, Chad, get the storm or the screen out, and the glass is going to go in. And it makes such a huge difference. I mean, it really makes a difference that two doors instead of one.
Yeah, storm doors and storm windows really are. I mean, when you think about it. Until the 1970s, when we started to have thermopane technology, prior to that, windows and doors, you know, had a single pane of glass. And so if you added a storm window or a storm door, you were adding a second layer of glass and adding that additional protection. And it's only been in the last 40 years that we've actually created glass technologies and systems that give us substantial improvement in efficiency.
Yeah, and I have some really energy efficient windows in our home, and frankly, it's an old home, and you know, a 1906, but those windows, they look old, but they're all brand new, and they're as energy efficient as you can get a window, I guess.
Yeah, and when you have that 100-year-old house with the single glass primary window, and you say you don't change your storm window or you don't drop down your combination storm, that's when you're going to start to see moisture on the glass, because each layer is providing R value at a very small level, but it's providing R value. So that storm window, as I said about the door, is the first line of defense, but it's creating that dead air space between your front door and the storm door, which provides some thermal benefit.
Chad mentioned how the windows have changed over the years, and what are the different types of windows that are out there now that we are using in residential projects and so forth?
Well, the thermal pane, certainly a dual pane system, and typically you'll have an inert gas, most typically argon, in the thermal pane. denser than air. That's boosting your R value. You also have coatings, the low emissivity coatings, which act as the sun filter to knock down the ultraviolet rays, protect the furniture, the carpeting, etc. Also protects, it also allows the house to be easier mechanically heated or cooled so that you have a constant instead of the one room that gets up to a 90 degrees because it's got sunlight pouring in and the rest of the house is cold. You also have triple pane systems, and that it does increase your R value. It's not necessarily an exponential growth. Payback can be very long term on those multi-chamber systems. So you really have to decide what you want to do. Sometimes just fixing your old windows is the way to go.
Yeah, and can be mostly it can be a comfort issue too. If you can make it comfortable.
Well, that's the whole trade-off with window replacement. If you're uncomfortable in your home, that benefit is huge. If you have the kid's bedroom that's always cold and you don't go in there, or you got that office that you close off in the winter because you can never get it warm, that can be a real benefit to putting that money into replacing the windows. You then have to look at the house as a system, and just throwing money at windows is not necessarily the answer to all the problems. Look at the performance data, get a test done, air sealing, proper insulation, then windows, and you'll enjoy your home more.
You know, back in the day, I lived in a farmhouse, an old farmhouse, and every winter I would go and get these do-it-yourself kits that you put on the window, and you had to have a hair dryer or something to tighten them down. And actually, once you had them on, they looked pretty good. To my feel anyway, they seem to help make the house more comfortable.
That putting that shrink wrap up or adding that other layer of a sealed cavity, what that really is doing is addressing not so much the efficiency or inefficiency of your glass, which is what one of the things we were just talking about.
Yeah.
But it's addressing all the leaking that tends to go on around the sashes and around the window trim.
Yeah.
And so when you seal up that entire opening, you are addressing the air leakage. And so that's another part of efficiency and comfort. And I was going to add all those gaskets that are around a modern window. Occasionally, those have to be replaced. They wear out.
Yeah.
And that's just another part of the modern window that we have to stay on top of so that it performs.
How do you know when you need to replace the window? I mean, you said sometimes, Chaz, you said sometimes, you can go with the window you've already got. How do you know when you need to replace it?
Well, I think you start from a point of recognizing, and let's stay at that turn of the century house. I live in this beautiful 100-year-old house. The weights and pulleys are intact. I have storm windows up. You know, those windows are working exactly like they were meant to work. So then you look at the window and say, well, gosh, I'm going to have to repaint it. I'm going to have to reglaze it. I've got some ongoing maintenance. There's been moisture damage. It's rotted. So you look at the more obvious things, such as just failure, basically.
Sure.
When you get into a more modern window, as Chad touched on, you want to be inspecting weather stripping. You want to see if you do have thermal panes, are they sealed and not cloudy? Our mechanisms, if you have casement windows, are they working? And then assess whether it's desirable to just take it to the 21st century or repair what you have.
Yeah, there we go. Tony in La Crosse has a question for you guys. Let's go there. Tony, hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great topic for Wisconsin winter that came early. My wife and I here in La Crosse are contemplating purchasing an older, circa 1920, prairie-style home. Nice home, lovely home. It's got a lot of windows, and they are leaded glass, casement-style windows. I did a pretty thorough inspection on them, and they have the old-style kind of metal-to-metal interleaving kind of weather seal. I think you might know what I mean. They swing open. They're in good shape. The metal parts, that one folds into the other, or kind of slips into the other to provide a pretty decent weather seal. their combination windows on the outside condition seems very good on everything. And I just wonder what advice you have for making those windows as efficient as possible. We're leaving a home that has new windows and very, very tight, and I'm worried that we might buy a place that's a leaky mess. I'd like your ideas about this.
Okay. Chaz, what do you think?
Well, if you've inspected the weather stripping, you know, it believe it or not, that sounds pretty high tech for probably the period you're talking about. That weather stripping, going back to what I said a minute ago, it's probably working the way it was ever designed to work. Mm-hmm. You mentioned combination storms. That these casements are, you pull a lever and you push them out?
No, they swing inward.
Oh, they swing inward. Okay.
Right.
So, you know, you've got a storm window. Once upon a time, there was probably some other type of storm window designed to go on there.
Right.
That would maybe have been changed in and out with the screen. So I think the biggest thing is you get in the house and kind of give it four seasons and see how it goes. And just be aware of the fact that you can't be pumping in a lot of humidity. The letting is going to transfer some of that cold. So you're just going to have to monitor your humidity levels and just give it a few seasons. And if it's a beautiful house, Larry touched on the fact that you could put up those window kits. If you're willing to invest that time, that's a pretty inexpensive way to tighten up those windows over the course of the winter.
Yeah.
But do you think if they're in pretty good shape and the weather stripping, this metal weather stripping system is in pretty good shape, that they'll be reasonably tight windows?
I do. If they're not, you know, look to see if there's warping, if the weather stripping's not making correct contact. That's the where you're going to see it, because as I said, the if the weather stripping's intact and it's coming together as it was designed to do, that's probably working as good as it's ever going to work.
Yeah, Chad, you were going to add something.
Yeah, well, so it's possible to do some testing where you're actually measuring how leaky those windows are, because a lot of times we stand in front of a window and it feels cold on a day like today, because even if you have a high-performance window that's well-sealed, you're going to have some heat loss through that glass, and you're going to feel the cold air falling off of the window. And sometimes we don't know, just anecdotally with our senses, whether or not it's just normal heat loss that we should expect or whether there's a lot of air leakage happening. And so we can use a smoke pencil, or you can just, you know, use a can. I mean, there's some things you could use as a homeowner, maybe if you don't have a smoke pencil, to see if there's a lot of drafting around that window to know whether the seals are actually good. On a day when there's a big temperature differential, if there is going to be leaking, you will get it on a day like that.
Good tip.
Yeah, it's a good tip. And of course, if you want the whole enchilada, you could do a blower door test to get an energy person in there.
Absolutely, and that really will give you all of the diagnostic tools and assessments and a written report, and you'll know how your windows are performing.
Yeah,
sure. Great tips, guys. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Tony. Appreciate it. Talking today with Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build in Madison. We used to call him Chad's Carpentry. I like the new name because it really, to me, reflects more of what you do. It's much broader.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. We struggled with this for probably 10 years. I had trouble giving up that old name. It was kind of folksy. We do handyman services for some clients, but that's not primarily what we do. But the old name kind of suggested that. So we're happy to have our new incarnation. And our website and marketing really is in the process of getting revamped as we speak. And I'm told by the end of the show today, our new website will be live. So.
So would you go to Chad's Design Build? Or?
Correct. And you can go to the old web address, too. It all just drives there. But chadsdesignbuild.com is the...
ChazDesignBuild.com. And then Chaz, you're project manager at Window Design Center in Madison, and you folks have a website as well.
Yeah, windowcenter.com would be a good portal for not only us, but the manufacturers that we handle.
Yeah, excellent. And by the way, if you call in, you are going to hear the melodious voice of Judith Sears Poisson, our producer. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Might want to tune in at 1 o'clock today or just stay listening because we're going to hear about sleep deprivation. It can take a heavy toll on your mind, and Kathleen Dunn's going to talk about that today at 1 o'clock on the Ideas Network. Right now, we're learning how to keep your home warm and conserve energy at the same time with Chad Spade of Chad's Design Build in Madison and Chaz Vaughn of Window Design Center in Madison. Great to have them here. And again, thank you so much for listening in. Questions, call us at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post a photo or question on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. Lucy in Clintonville, you are next. Thanks for waiting.
Yes. About 5 years ago, we had a metal roof put on an existing roof, and we didn't use the standing seam. We took the one that was screwed on. But last winter, where the snow piled up in our valley, for four rafters in either direction, water ran between the underside of the roof and the top of the rafter and collected in our soffit and froze.
Well, there are variety of things that could be contributing to that, but the water was getting into the soffits on the exterior. Was it getting into the attic as well?
Only as far as the rafters were wet because of the water running down.
Okay, so the rafters were wet.
The rafter under the roof, and I'm wondering, is it possible that that was because the snow piled up to the ridge vent? Got under the ridge vent and then ran down on the underside of the roof.
Well, that is possible, and actually that is certainly the first place we want to look for a leak would be all of the spots that we actually have holes in the system, and those holes, of course, are designed to ventilate the unheated and uninsulated attic. So it's possible, given the amount of cold and snow that we had last year, that that's a simple explanation, and that it was somewhat of a fluke tied to the weather, because we do occasionally have failures in building systems, and that's why we build them in a way that's redundant, so that hopefully the failure will not cause any sort of long-term damage. Typically with a metal roof, if we were installing a new metal roof on an older home today, we would remove the entire old roofing system and put down a continuous adhered self-adhesive tar paper, which is essentially, it's often called Ice and Water Shield, which is a brand, but it is an adhesive self-sealing underlayment. And all of the fasteners that go through that underlayment are going to seal as they penetrate it. So any water that gets past the metal will stay on that material, and it should go all the way down to the edge and drip off the roof, even though it's underneath the metal. So, you know, here, that could be the other explanation, is that what the roofing substrate or the whatever was put down under the metal, or maybe I think you said it was perhaps the old roof was just left under the metal. If that old roof has started to fail, it could be the water's getting through the metal, and then it's working its way through that old roofing system. I think it's important that you keep an eye on it this coming season to make sure it's not continuing to happen. I would have a professional roofer come to assess the problem if you do see any evidence of ongoing water, but let's hope that it was a one-time fluke based on the extreme weather that we had last winter.
Let's hope so. Thank you, Lucy, for calling. Appreciate your call very much. Join in at 800-642-1234. We turn to Sue in Eagle River next. Hi, Sue. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have 5-year-old Sunco double-hung storm windows, and on the second floor of my house, every window is fogged up and dripping. And Is there anything I can do to prevent that?
Hmm. So are the storm windows on older windows, or they were part of the of new Semco windows that you put on?
Yeah, the house was just built less than 5 years ago, so they're like almost 5 years old.
Okay. So moisture on windows, the window ends up acting like a dehumidifier. The moisture's in the air, and the window is cold, and, of course, the storm window is outside, and so that's the coldest part of that system. And the water is going to condense on that. It's an it's happening on the second floor because of stacking, and that's where your house is drawing in air from downstairs and trying to get it out through the upstairs. The other indication is, of course, would be moist air rises. So it's more typically going to see something you're going to see on the second floor of a house versus the first floor. It's if it's on the storm window, it's indicating that the windows aren't sealing, and that that air is getting out somehow, and then the storm window is, of course, tight, and it is pulling that moisture right out of the air. Two ways to solve it or help help with it would be make sure you're locking your windows, double hung, so that the weather stripping is engaging and maybe getting it tight. If you have a dual, you know, if it's already a thermal pane and you have a storm window, there's a little redundancy there. Seems counterintuitive, but you could vent the storm windows, and that could perhaps allow enough airflow between the primary window and the storm window to prevent that condensation.
Yeah.
And I would add that, and all of that is excellent advice, and I would just add, like, bigger picture, you might consider trying to provide better ventilation of point sources for humidity. So does your stove vent to the exterior? If it doesn't, you might consider having the ductwork installed to remove that moisture when you're cooking. And then your bathroom fans need to be operated whenever someone's taking a shower. That also will help. Does your home have a humidifier on the furnace?
No, it does not.
Okay. Well, that's good. Because you wouldn't want to be adding more
moisture to the situation. Yeah,
right.
And I think you said in the past that you should really, in a bathroom, run that fan for maybe even 20 minutes after a shower.
Correct. And in fact, there are fans that are designed for continuous operation. One brand that we often recommend from the high-performance building community is a Panasonic fan, where those are literally have a lifetime warranty on the fan, and they have direct current motors, so they're very efficient, low cost to operate, very quiet. But there are other manufacturers out there that are also making a high efficiency fan that that is made for continuous operation. And so it's the fan in the upstairs, probably the if there's a a bathroom on the main hallway upstairs, you might consider running that fan more frequently. Installing a humidistat or a timer on the fan so that you can just routine, whenever you see the problem, you can activate it, or it'll activate itself.
Yeah, without even having to turn anything on or anything.
Correct.
Yeah. So those are some thoughts, Sue. I hope those help.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm terrible about running the fan for the bathroom and the stove, and I do have ceiling fans on the second floor in the den and in the bedrooms that I could run, and I think I'll try that and see if that helps the situation as well.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind is a five-year-old house could have been built very, very tightly without any provision for exhausting that moist air. So you may want to explore like a heat recovery ventilator, which takes in drier air, trades the heat out, and puts the drier air back in the home, and that would help as well.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. What do they used to call air-to-air heat exchangers or something like that? The old title of those? Yeah. John in Decorah, Iowa, it's your turn. Thanks for calling, John.
Well, thanks for having me on. I was thinking about that last call and thinking how, fortunately or unfortunately, the air will dry out and maybe your windows will not be so foggy once we're all miserable with dry, cracking skin and stuff for the winter. But I was wondering, when you touched on argon and triple pane windows, in my house I've sort of over time, when we realize that we don't need a window to open anymore, that we never open it because the patio door is not too far away or something like that, I'll replace it with a stationary window. And on occasion, one will fog up, like in my lifetime. Of course, I'm getting older. I'm 58, but I'm just wondering what, if there's any comparable, if you can comment on like the longevity of a just a double pane argon filled window compared with a triple pane, and the likelihood that they will fog up over time, or if some of them, I have a triple pane window in the very top of the house that sometimes seems like it's foggy between the panes, and other times it seems like it dissipates, and if that automatically means that there is a failure of the seal. Or anyway, I'll stop talking with you. I think I've got enough going there.
Okay, thanks, John.
Well, I think the 20 years ago you had thermal panes, and the sealant technologies were quite different, and so dual pane windows anecdotally would fail more frequently than they do now. Dual pane versus triple pane, from a longevity standpoint, I think you could say the triple pane, they're using the same sealants, but the triple pane is adding weight. So if you have an operating window, you might, say a casement, that mechanism is under extra stress. So there'd be other things there. As far as a fixed window in a static location, I think you could count on the longevity being the same. As far as that window that you think is fogs every once in a while, that's probably true. And that would indicate the seal is bad. If you want to think about the space between the glass, it's a little atmosphere. And when it hits the dew point, you see condensation. When it's not at the dew point, you don't see condensation. So that very well may be the case. And if you do see some hazing on that window or cloudiness, it's probably an indication that has failed.
And unfortunately, I believe I've heard you say there's no fixing that either, is there? Or?
Not that I'm aware of. I've seen advertisements for companies that offer to fix thermal panes, but I have no direct experience with that.
Okay. All right. There we go. Thanks a lot, John. Terry in Blue Mounds, it is your turn. Hi, Terry.
Hey, Larry. How you doing?
Great. Good to hear your voice. What's on your mind today? Thanks.
Well, we've had a lot of talk about moisture, so I'm going to add to it. I'm in a house that is built in the late 1800s, and we've redone the entire house. We've had it insulated. We have new windows. We have new doors. Everything's great. Before we did this and since we've done it, I still have moisture on my windows. And then the other thing is I do have fans that vent to the outdoors. The kitchen fan vents outdoors. The bathroom fan vents outdoors. We run the fans. And upstairs, though, we have one door that doesn't have a screen door, and that one is constantly just soaked. Now, the issue in my house is I'm a musician, and so I have to have 50% humidity in the music room, which I usually am pretty able to keep. But the humidity in the house isn't that high, so I don't understand why everything sweats so much. We don't have mold. We don't have problems except on the windows.
Well, it sounds like the previous caller a little bit, that you've gone done a lot to tighten up that house and make it very efficient. So you're experiencing the same thing. It just happens to be in a century-old home. And I understand your issues with the music or with your instruments. The humidity level in your house is probably higher than you think. If you have a room that's 50 that you're keeping at 50%, that moisture is going to migrate someplace else as well. So it isn't going to the drugstore and buying the little $10 humidistat. You've got a serious investment in your instruments. You should get a good, accurate reading throughout the house, and then really monitor it, and then do the things we talked about of put in that heat recovery ventilating system, or seal the room where you have the instruments better. But I have a feeling it's just a little bit higher than you think. And the real kicker is that the colder it gets, the less humidity we can have in our homes without experiencing some condensation. As far as your windows being wet, you know, things can get wet. They just need to get dry. So for the door, you should probably, it sounds like, put a storm door on there, and that'll go a long way towards helping that. And then if you've got newer windows, making sure you are locking them, or you're using your storm windows or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we should have storm windows on in the wintertime with those windows, with new windows?
Well, a dual pane system, there's an oversimplification is every layer is a point of R value. So if you have, and not every window is designed to accept a storm window, but if you have double hung windows and the manufacturer has a provision for it, you can add a storm window that adds that layer of R, which helps keep the interior pane of glass closer to room temperature, away from the dew point, away from condensation.
Yep.
Okay.
And Terry, if I could just ask, are you humidifying the music room with a room humidifier? Or are you humidifying the entire house to maintain?
No. I just have a room humidifier that's set at 50% humidity, and the room is closed off all the time.
Okay, that's good. Well, that's good practice. And I mean, we always say that, I mean, obviously, we all have to live and breathe in our homes, and we want to be comfortable. And part of comfort is proper humidity. And certainly doing it in a room is far better than trying to do it to the entire house. So you're making the right decision there. Is that room on the first floor or second floor or where?
It is. It's on the first floor.
Okay. So Chaz's point.
I just ask one other question. The basement is unfinished, so it has like an earthen basement. Can that be part of the issue?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a huge driver, because you get a lot of moisture out of the soil and out of the ground. And even when you have just a poured concrete basement, old homes like your home, there's no moisture barrier or sealant anywhere on that system. And even in a lot of new homes today, there's no real proper provision to keep that moisture from coming into the home. And so you might want to focus on that. And then the other issue is radon that you need to be concerned about, because that's a naturally occurring gas that will just migrate in with that moisture if it's there.
Yeah, I have a little thing that tests for that, so I'm aware of that one. But our concern was always, if we did the basement, then the house is going to be so sealed, you know, that it can't breathe, because it's pretty darn sealed now except for that basement. So
yeah, but air-to-air, heat recovery systems.
Yep, if you
take care of that.
Yeah, and you know, there you would want to test the home to see really how tight it is. Odds are pretty good that your old, 100-year-old home, with all of the improvements you've made to it, the chances are that you're still going to have enough leakiness that's just occurring naturally with what's left to provide proper air exchange. But the only way to know that is to test, to have a blower door test done, and to find out where you're at now. Consider some improvements to address these other issues, and then make sure that things are healthy and functioning as they should. We don't design houses to be leaky, and for that matter, we don't design buildings to breathe per se. We just need to make sure that we have good air quality in a home, and we want to be able to control that in a modern building. So I think that there are some real opportunities there for you to make some improvements.
Yeah. Good luck, Terry. Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. Take care. And our Gord lady, the Gord gal, who has been a guest on this show a number of times. She's a really nice person, and I hope she gets that fixed. We turn to Ruth in Swamigo next. Ruth, hi.
Hi. I have a question about what kinds of things someone who's renting a home. I rent a small ranch, and I'm wondering, I know there's no point in asking a landlord, so I'm wondering what kinds of things that I can do that are worth the money. The home was built in the late 80s, the doors aren't really quite, you know, the doorways aren't quite square anymore, so you can see spots where the door doesn't quite touch the gasket. There is a storm door, but it doesn't fit the opening. You can see gaps at the bottom. And I do have some casement windows, not a lot. A few of the double hungs are good. They're double glazed, they have storms, so I don't think they're a problem unless they're failing.
Hmm.
But we have high energy bills for the size of this house.
Well, there's probably any number of things that we've kind of touched on that it's all more what you're willing to do. The window insulating kits, there's inexpensive vinyl weather stripping that is an adhesive that you can stick to the door jamb and that it will close over, improve that.
Is that something you add? I don't do these things myself, so I can hardly picture what you're saying.
Yeah, if you went to any of the a hardware store or any of the big box stores, they have entire areas devoted to weather stripping and auxiliary products to help you tighten things up. On your casement windows, you could get a product that's a rope caulk that you push into the gaps, and it acts as a temporary seal. The biggest thing you want to avoid is putting, you think you're doing a lot of good when you put a big piece of felt, say, under your window, and then you close the window. Well, what you've done is you've created a gap somewhere else. So you just got to be aware of what you're doing and what the equal and opposite reaction would be. So little simple touches like that V-seal weather stripping I'm talking about is designed for doors. It's V because it's shaped like a V.
Oh,
it's a vinyl piece that goes in a gap and a door could close over it. So that would help.
Maybe I should take a picture and take it down to the hardware store and say, look.
Yeah, I need to fill this gap and make sure the door is locked or the window's locked and say, look, I got this gap and I've got to fill it.
In stores, these long tube-shaped things that you're supposed to put up against the bottom of a door.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
They're like rolled.
They fancy them up. And they look like little snakes or whatever. Yeah.
Do they do any good?
They do. You know, if it's convenient for you to put that in front of the door and you're getting air leakage underneath the door, it's actually going to help.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. We had a door that we never opened. I mean, nobody ever used that particular door. We had one sitting. Otherwise, if the door gets used a lot, then it turns into a kind of a pain.
And I'm kind of talking about the loose ones that just lay across the bottom of the door. They sell some that's supposed to go under the door and kind of attach to it. And that's a little bit of what I was talking about. You put that on the door, now maybe the door doesn't close quite right. So you've done one thing that is half good, and caused the other half of a problem. So just find the drafts and get a trusted hardware source and say, this is what I got to do.
Yep. Good luck. Thanks, Ruth, for calling. Appreciate your call. Taking a look at keeping your home warm and energy efficient in wintertime, our guests today, Chad Spate of Chad's Design Build in Madison and Chaz Vaughn, Project Manager at the Window Design Center in Madison. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much for listening in on the Ideas Network as we talk about keeping your home warm and energy efficient with Chad Spate of Chad's Design Build in Madison and Chaz Vaughn, Project Manager at the Window Design Center in Madison. Thanks again for calling. And again, if you have a question or comment, give us a call at 800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And an email from Christy in Oshkosh. They have a 100-year-old home with cedar shakes and have been painted many times. To scrape the shakes would be too labor-intensive, so we're thinking of siding the house and have two related questions. Would you recommend putting the siding over the shakes for their insulation value, or should we remove them? That's number one. And number two, if we side over the shakes, say that 10 times fast, side over the shakes, would we need to replace any that are soft or partly rotted?
Yeah, well, excellent questions. So I'm a big fan of cedar siding in any form, but it is very labor intensive to maintain and to install or repair. So I guess my advice would be typically to cover over that cedar rather than to remove it, because if someone does come along down the line and decide they want to restore that, it is done. There are issues with lead paint and other things that would make it perhaps cost prohibitive, but nonetheless, by leaving it there, you are providing some nominal R value. But if it's the new siding is properly fastened to the home, it should not be a problem. It will depend on the type of siding system you're putting up, but the issue of whether or not you have to repair all of the rot really depends on whether or not you can properly fasten the new material to the home. The one last thing I would say is it's important to consider putting some sort of like a Tyvek or some sort of water repelling layer probably behind that new siding, just to help make sure that the old cedar does stay drier and won't cause problems down the road.
Dino in Madison has a question for you. Dino, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks. Good morning, gentlemen, or what's left of it. My house is about 90 years old, and I need to replace the roof. And it currently has a tar roof. And I was thinking about installing either a slate roof or a metal roof. And I was just wondering what the advantages and disadvantages of each of those kinds of roofs is or are.
So, Dino, do you have Is it a flat roof?
No, it's kind of it's sloped.
Slight, okay. But is it a shallow pitch or is it a...
No, it's pretty steep. It's pretty steep, actually.
Well, so one of the big issues with a slate roof, if it's an actual slate roof, is that that's a very heavy roof system. And so if you are going to go to that sort of a roof, you're going to need to make sure that your structure is adequate structurally to handle the weight load, because the typical home has not been built in a manner that necessarily can handle that heavy of a weight load on the roof, and then add to that the snow loads that we're going to get. So that's just a practical engineering concern. Most of the metal roofing systems are fairly lightweight by comparison, and so certainly it's a matter of the aesthetic. I will say that there are metal systems out there that look like slate or look like almost any roofing system that is known to architecture, and so you could go that path where it looks like a slate roof, but it is actually a metal roof. There are also some PVC products that look like slate and other things. So there are a variety of options. Is your decision based on the aesthetic as much as practical longevity concerns?
Well, that plus energy efficiency. I'm seeing a lot of people in my neighborhood putting up metal roofs, and they're saying, oh, they're far more energy efficient. And I just don't know if that's true. I'm really concerned more about, you know, longevity, and then also just the increasing the heat efficiency, you know, in the home.
Yeah, well, so it's an interesting question, and I've heard some of those claims, but really a metal roof is not going to do a lot to stop heat from escaping your home or to keep heat from getting into your home to provide for a more comfortable and more efficiently controlled interior environment. So I think the issue has to do with, depending on the color of a roof, and this is true for any material, if you put a dark roof on a home, it's going to absorb a lot of heat, and that can create some problems for the house. Whereas if we put on lighter colored roofing, it reflects that heat. And generally, that's the better way to go for overall comfort and efficiency. So, but that applies to any material that you might put on the roof. Mm-hmm. So, the biggest issue, of course, as with any material, is that it's just properly installed, and that also that whatever is under it is the proper preparation. So, good luck.
All right, good luck. Dino, thanks a lot for calling, and I want to give David in Madison a chance to join us as well. David, hi, thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call, Larry. I just wanted to make a comment about the energy recovery ventilators. So we live in a 1930s Cape Cod in which the upstairs has been converted into a loft. And about 5 years ago, we ripped everything out and spray foamed underneath the roof deck and insulated the walls. And that first winter, we had water pouring down the windows because we couldn't get the humidity below about 58%. And we ended up putting in an energy recovery ventilator, and it's made a huge difference. And when I talked to the sales guy when they came out to look at the place, he was commenting about how they're doing more and more of these in old houses that, like you had mentioned, initially when they were first built, had lots of air leaks. People are now tightening them up to cut their energy costs and now running into humidity issues. So I just want to say for people who have been doing a lot of work on their old house, really look into an energy recovery ventilator. It's made a huge difference in our winter conditions in our house.
Very good points, and I think our guests here agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, up in the state of Minnesota, you know, you pretty much have to have that system when you build a new home because they anticipate it. We haven't gotten to that point here in Wisconsin yet, but it's a very useful tool.
I got an email from Justin who heard of a Wisconsin company that makes window inserts that fit snugly between a storm and the inner glass. But he lost the information on who was making those. Do you guys know what manufacturer makes those kinds of inserts? And is it worth it? Are those valuable?
You know, there are definitely options out there. I'm not familiar with that particular concept, but it is sometimes touted to put a removable storm on the inside of a window, and it is definitely an approach that can have some added benefits, but I don't.
Yeah, that inside storm, too. Keep in mind that if you just put another piece of glass on glass, it doesn't do anything. You need separation and you need dead airspace in order to accomplish anything.
Ray and Rhinelander, thanks a lot for calling. Hi.
Hi. Once again, Larry, you can't retire. You have such good people on here, and today's information is fantastic.
Thank you.
So anyways, here is my question to these people, and anyone can answer this, obviously. I am planning on remodeling my attic. It's big enough where I'm 6'4", but I can pretty much walk through it. I have to tilt my head a little bit. Now, I've talked to a variety of people, and there's so many pros and cons with this, with making this into a room. One is, the shingles that were put on are fairly new. The roof was redone, so that's all done that way. Basic bare 2x6s and stuff are up in there. Good structure. Now, here's my question. When I insulate the inside of that, do I need to put those fiberglass airway spaces? And I want to put a metal roof over the existing shingle roof. And do I need to put spacers on that? What would you do in that situation if you were going to remodel an attic that way?
Well, those are all excellent questions, and you're thinking about the right things. Typically, when we finish off an attic, we are going to convert the house over to basically having a non-ventilated roof deck. We're going to spray, but to do that, you've got to use the right materials. So we're going to use a closed-cell spray foam that's going to be applied directly to the underside of your roof decking from the attic side. And it'll get sprayed on to that, to the plywood or the sheeting. And it's going to do a few things for you. It's going to give you the appropriate R value that you need because you said you have 2x6s. So that means you've only got 5.5 inches of space to insulate. And if you were to use fiberglass or cellulose, you're not going to have near the R value to keep things comfortable and to prevent ice damming from occurring up on the roof. So I would say spray it with a closed cell foam. If you had the room, you could create ventilated channels in that roof, but you don't really have enough space to do that with a 2x6 roof. So that would be my recommendation. And then if you're going to be finishing it, you've got to make sure that you install some sort of material that is rated for fireproofing. So generally that's drywall. And then that should give you a nice comfortable space.
And if you're going to make a bedroom out of it, this is a voice of experience speaking here from our house. There's also a question of how much window space. We had to put a window in the roof, essentially, to get enough glass.
Right, and there will be headroom issues. So, you know, if it sounds like you may not have enough headroom up in this space to have a legal finished room of any sort, I think it might, in effect, become what we call finished or conditioned storage.
There you go.
But that's an excellent point, Larry. And then also you've got to think about egress, because if it's a bedroom, you've got to get out safely.
Chad Spate and Chaz Vaughn, our guests today, they'll be with us right up until 12:30. Take a look at the news, and then we will be right back with our guests. Stay with us. Thanks so much for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you along today as we take a look at some investments you and I can make in our homes to minimize our impact on the environment, but also to save a little money and make our homes more energy efficient. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today as we visit with Chad Spate of Chad's Design Build in Madison and Chaz Vaughn of the Window Design Center in Madison. Both have been on the show before. It's great to have them back, and certainly I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page for that. And Chaz, just to go back to you for a minute, you know, we were talking about windows and how to make them more energy efficient. What about changing? When do you change? I'm telling you right now, I have received a lot of information in the mail from a variety of companies telling me that I should change my windows. And, of course, I 2 years ago, I had put all new windows in about 2.5 years ago, so obviously I'm not going to do that. But I'm sure I'm not the only homeowner to get that kind of mail.
Sure, it seems like the 'tis the season. You know, as the weather turns, everybody, the mailboxes fill up and the radio ads start flying. And, you know, going back to what we talked about earlier, as you look at your windows and you look at how efficient they are in relation to the vintage of your home, how much you're going to invest in changing them, what the aesthetic impact might be to put a vinyl window in a 100-year-old house or something like that. So you really need to make some good, solid decisions about when is the time to replace. Payback is very, very long term. So when you see the claims of 30% reductions in heating bills, be just a little skeptical, because the performance jumps, while they are exponential, they don't translate into exponential savings in the heating and the cooling. And again, you're going to invest a lot of money, so do it for the long term. You're going to be in your house for an extended period. You're spending money for you. You're doing it for your comfort as well as energy efficiency. And keeping in mind, you talked about kind of the reuse, recycle element of it. Throwing a bunch of windows in the landfill isn't that good. You can, in some cases, just repair. But there will come a time when that rot, if there is rot, it can't be done. I don't want to put money into replacing a thermal pane. Use that as the guiding force, not someone at your kitchen table telling you should change your windows.
Mm. Is it wise to have windows installed when the temperature is below freezing? had someone, Arthur, emailed us on that and concerned that the caulking on the vinyl cladding won't seal properly, for example. What do you think, Chad?
Well, so there are plenty of materials out there that, if properly used and installed, we can work in some pretty cold temperatures. Some of the caulks we use will literally perform down to sub-zero temperatures. Some of them will perform down to 20 degrees, and then some of them are not to be used below 40 degrees. So the installer needs to understand which materials are appropriate and to use them. The one practical thing, obviously, when you're replacing windows, you're going to have a big hole in your home when it's happening. It may only be a hole for 5 minutes, depending on how it's being done. Or if you're tearing out everything, you know, you're going to have a hole there maybe for an hour, hour and a half. If it's a cold day, you're going to lose a lot of heat, and it's not going to be very comfortable to be in your home to get a bunch of windows replaced. I know for our company, we don't ever do window and door replacements when it's below 20 degrees or if it's particularly brusque and it feels like it's below 20. We try to do it on days when it's sunny and above 30. So it's kind of common sense, but you've also got to read the label on the materials you're using.
Yeah, absolutely. When you put insulation in around the window, Arth was also wondering, you know, is it better to put some expansion foam in there, or would you use fiberglass? Chaz, what?
Well, when you're installing a window, you want to use a low expanding foam. If you use anything else, you run the risk of distorting the jam, which would be the frame.
Sure.
Fiberglass insulation works with dead air. So if you're not in a sealed cavity, you're not gaining any R value. So the foam, the low expansion foam, accomplishes two things. It air seals and it insulates. So that's the better way to go.
Travis in Buffalo City, thanks a lot for waiting. Hi.
Hello. Good morning. Well, might be afternoon by now. I have a pellet stove that I just purchased, and it heats 2,000 square feet, and I'm debating on putting it in my basement, which is completely finished and insulated in the rafters, or upstairs where the thermostat is located. I've had people tell me to put one of those large square vents and just let the heat raise through and put those in different areas, and I've had other people tell me to put fans that would connect right into my ductwork. And I'm wondering what would be the best way to go to try and heat the whole house.
So, Travis, do you have a ranch home? Is that?
Yes, it's a ranch home with a walkout basement.
Okay, walkout basement. Well, you know, it's hard to say for sure without assessing on site, but based on what you've said, a couple of things you need to be thinking about. Whenever you have a combustion stove, that's going to require oxygen to combust, and so sometimes it's not unusual to have problems with a lower level stove. People often end up having to open a window to get it to operate properly. Does this stove have an intake air system as part of it when it gets installed? Or is it just a freestanding?
It's a higher end style.
Okay.
It ended up costing around $2,500.
So you probably then will have the flexibility to put it where you want it, and just keeping in mind that something that generates that amount of heat, it might not be terribly comfortable to be close to it. So what I would be thinking about is where can you put it where you're not going to drive yourself and other occupants away while still providing general comfort for as much space in the home as possible.
So maybe in that case, the basement is better if you're not using it for sort of living space.
Probably so. Though yeah. It does sound like it is a living space if it's a walkout.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So a few things to think about, Travis. But thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. Mary in Appleton. Hi, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you for your show.
Sure.
Our ranch home is about 40 years old, and we replaced all the doors and windows in it, and 2 years ago we replaced the siding. In the northwest corner of the house, the ceiling and the wall, in the winter when it gets cold, there's stains now coming down. We did have a moisture problem there before, but it's still there, as well as the basement. Last year, there, the northwest corner of the basement actually had frost, and I'm wondering what we can possibly do about it. Oh, and there is an electrical socket underneath one of the windows where there is actually air blowing in.
Right. Well, so I would say the first thing to look at would be the potential to do some air sealing in that area, and then to determine if the water staining is the result of what's going on outside, or is it possible that air, that warm, moist air from the house is leaking, is getting out beyond the finished surfaces and condensing up in the attic and then potentially dripping down, or if there isn't a ventilation tube or something up in the attic that is allowing moisture to escape, condense, and then cause the problem. While it is certainly not the most common explanation for a water stain on a ceiling, typically the explanation is that there's a leak from rain or snow, either ice damming or just a leak in the roof system that's leading to the water stain. It is also possible that it's condensation related, and given those other issues that you're experiencing, it sounds like air sealing is in order to make it more comfortable, to eliminate the potential for that frost, and then hopefully to deal with that stain, if in fact it is the result of some condensation. Does that make sense?
It only happens in the winter time. And last winter, I know it was being so cold. When I saw the frost in the basement, I was appalled.
Does it happen only when there's snow on the roof, or does it happen when it's cold and the roof is clear?
When it's just, it's usually clear, I would think.
Okay.
I mean, our roof is new too, so I'm not.
Chad, you remember last winter I had water leaking in and was in the winter, and was quite shocked. And it turns out a bath vent pipe had come loose, and so that moist air was pumping into the attic and creating a little rain shower of its own. So that's also a possibility that when your roof was done, if something got changed inadvertently, you know, a vent pipe didn't get reconnected correctly or something like that.
Or it's just venting into the attic.
Right. Well,
that can happen too sometimes.
Right.
You wouldn't want that. So that's something else for you to check or have checked, Mary. Good luck. Thank you for calling. We had an email from Marty. We're thinking of building a new home in the Madison area, having trouble finding reviews of builders. What's the best way to go about evaluating a builder, especially regarding quality? So many new homes look nice when they're first built, but maybe lack the quality there. You know, 10 years later, you're...
Yeah, well, that's an excellent question. Of course, I live in the remodeling industry primarily, and so our professional association has a strong code of ethics. And I guess you could talk to the Builders Association.
Yours is NARI, but National Association of Home Remodelers, is it
NARI? National Association of Home Builders, NAHB,
yes.
And then they also have a remodeling component. But NAHB members in Madison area would be Madison Area Builders Association. That would be the professional equivalent. You could certainly look for membership there. I think you could, you know, certainly word of mouth, and, you know, longevity is an interesting way to look at it. If they're if they're 10 years into the industry and still going strong, I think that's a good indication that they're reliable and here to stay.
Yeah. And I would add to that that certainly utilizing the internet to search for builders that associate with the Energy Star program and possibly interest in or training with respect to passive house and other high performance technologies and certifications that are out there, houses that are getting certified through the LEED program, that's another place to look. And so if you search through that accreditation, you might find builders. And then once you find a builder or two or three that you are impressed with what you know, I would ask for some references to, you know, people that they built a home 4 or 5 years ago that you can call up and find out how things are holding up and how happy they are with both the home and the service they received.
Good points. Good points all. Pete in La Crosse, thank you very much for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry, Chad, and Jess. Hey, just before noon, a caller called in to talk about his humidity problem and how we remedied it with an energy recovery ventilator. Well, he misidentified the product, and you guys didn't correct him on it. But what an energy recovery ventilator does is, as well, let me tell you, the heat recovery ventilator, the air that's leaving the house, the moisture in there condenses to water, and it's just drained out as water. On the energy recovery ventilator, that water passes through porous walls in the heat exchanger, and the water is evaporated back into the air coming in from the outside, so it doesn't remove any humidity or very little humidity from the conditioned space. So you would not want an energy recovery ventilator if humidity was the problem. You would want a heat recovery ventilator to make sure you were removing that moisture and leaving it outside of your conditioned space.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You are correct on that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very... very much so, and possibly in the haste to get through right at the end there, I mixed things up a bit. So, Pete, I thank you for calling back. I appreciate it very much. We want to make sure we get that information correct, for sure. And thanks again. Kathy in Marshfield. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a home that's about 40 years old, and we have a set of patio doors that are wooden. And they served us really well until about 20 years ago when we thought we had a lot of loss of heat, so we added storm doors to it. And now, of course, the insulation along the storm door and the track are not quite plumb. And last year, for the first time, I had blown snow in there, and then it condensed, and I couldn't get out the storm door. It froze to the track. So now they say, well, with the new patio doors, I should replace the patio doors, discard the storm doors because they're no longer necessary with the new patio doors. And I'm wondering if that's right.
Well, the storm door serves that purpose of creating that dead air and boosting the R value. Hopefully, whatever door you choose is, when installed correctly, is tight enough to really not need a storm door. A lot of times you take that big, heavy storm door and you bolt it to the brick molding on the outside of the window, and that's, and you're kind of, it's pulling away from the house, basically, because of the added weight. So if you get new doors installed correctly, I would say yes, you're not going to need any sort of storm window. Keep in mind that there's going to be radiant cold coming off that glass. And as Chad mentioned earlier in the show, don't confuse that for air leakage, but you want a good, tight, new door.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. We had an email from Dave, and this goes back to an earlier call. Caller was looking for the name of a manufacturer of inserts that fit inside an existing window. I believe they're looking for a company called EnergyWise, all one word, located in Schulzburg, Wisconsin. And the earlier person did say it was a Wisconsin company. So EnergyWise in Schulzburg, Wisconsin. The emailer said, I have some of these windows in my home. They create a dead air space by wrapping an aluminum frame with optically clear vinyl. The outer frame has closed cell foam weather stripping that helps the window seal to the existing window jams. They allow you to extend the use of a three seasoned porch a little deeper into the fall and earlier in the spring, I wouldn't recommend them as a substitute for an efficient window. So there we go. And again, just to go back to it, it's Energy Wise is the company in Schulzburg, Wisconsin. And thanks a lot for that comment. And an email from Paul. Speaking of Cox, I've just shopping for some the other week for a late season repair. So many choices. They break down into a few basic categories that can at least be summarized as a starting point. Acrylic, silicone, something else with silicone added. Someone mentioned to me
butyl.
Oh, butyl caulk. Yes. But I don't seem to find it or understand what it does.
Yeah, well, that's an excellent question, and sometimes I scratch my head a little bit when I'm standing there in the caulk aisle because there are constantly new products out there. One thing, typically you have latex caulks, which tend to be the least expensive, and because they are latex, they are water-based in their curing, and so those cannot be applied typically in freezing temperatures. They generally say not below 40 degrees. The silicone caulks tend to be very pliable and effective, but often they cannot be painted. So that is a concern that you have to worry about, and you'll often see silicone caulks in a section. The butyl caulks are actually a rubberized caulk that is typically used in repairing metal gutter system and sometimes in roofing. A caulk that we often use will have urethane in it, which is an oil-based chemical, but it has a lot of properties that make it very pliable and durable, and we use those for roofing repairs and other things. Certainly acrylic caulk, similar to acrylic paint, it does have some additional performance qualities that go beyond just a latex-based caulk. So hopefully that's helped, but yeah. It's complicated. There are a lot of choices, and generally it's good to go to a trusted paint vendor, and they typically will have people in a hardware store as well. Sometimes will have an expert on staff that can help address these issues and clarify what you should be looking at for your project.
Well, we covered a whole lot of things today on the show, and here we are out of time. Guys, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Is a lot of fun, and I learned something, and I bet all of our listeners did as well.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Larry. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Really appreciate it. Chad Spate, owner of Chad's Design Build in Madison, and his website should about be ready, shouldn't it? The new one?
I hope so.
So you can go there. Chad's Chad's Design Build in Madison. And Chaz Vaughn is the project manager at the Window Design Center in Madison. And if you put in Window Design Center Madison, you're going to get...
We'll get there, yeah. WindowCenter.com is our...
WindowCenter.com. Okay. We'll have him back. We'll do it again. Tomorrow, hey, it's Garden Talk. Ed Lyon of the Allen Centennial Gardens will talk about what went well in the garden this year and what you should be planning for next year. Stay with us. Lots in store.